Well, I made it my goal, my aim, in these few weeks that I've been here, to make sure that nobody will say to me at the end of these 3 weeks, well, I don't know what it is to be a Christian. I don't know what it means to be regenerate. And so the last two messages have concentrated on the question of the meaning of regeneration. What does it mean to be regenerate? And if anyone here at the end of this meeting still doesn't know what it means to be regenerate, then I should feel thoroughly frustrated. And I should request that perhaps you'll talk to me yourself and we'll sort this thing out. Today I want to come to a third aspect about regeneration. And that is the question of seeing. You see, we take our vision for granted. You are looking at me, and I'm looking at you. And in fact, if you couldn't see, you wouldn't be here today. I wonder how you would have gotten here in the first place. We take our eyes for granted, isn't it? We hardly realize how valuable our eyesight is. To be able to see is something incredibly precious. Now, if at any time you had eye trouble, you see, my wife, the nurse that specialized in eye troubles and eye disease, and in London, where she studied and where she worked after the basic training in nursing, this hospital is called Moorfields Eye Hospital. The whole huge hospital deals with only one part of the body, the eyes. In fact, I never realized in my life that there's a whole hospital that deals only with eyes. It's called Moorfields Eye Hospital, said to be probably the most famous eye hospital in the world. And they treat nothing else except eyes. All kinds of eye diseases, eye surgery is all done in there. Because if you go into that hospital and you see the suffering of people who cannot see, whose vision is damaged, or may never again be able to see, you realize how precious is the sight. Now, some people talk about being blind as a bat. Can't see anything at all, so blind. But that's a misnomer, because bats have an incredible way of seeing with their ears. I saw once a Moody Science film that portrayed the experiments on bats. It was amazing. In total darkness, they could put bars through the whole room, bars, thin bars like that, through the whole room, and the bat would fly between the bars and never once hit the bars. And though it cannot see, it will never hit a bar. Why is that so? Because it emits a sound like radar, that it sends out the sound hits an object and it comes back to the bat's ears. And all that in the fraction of a second, so that it can maneuver right through the bars in total darkness without once hitting the bars. Fascinating. It can literally see with its ears. Very illuminating to know that when you study the Word of God. Because the prophet said, I saw the Word of God. Now, the Word of God you're supposed to hear. How do you see it? Very interesting. There is a point at which seeing and hearing is no longer so clearly divisible. Like the bats, they see with their ears. But when, in the experiment, they taped up the ears of the bats went straight into the poles, because they couldn't hear, they couldn't see anymore. Their ears was their eyesight. And that is why in the Bible you often find the expression, seeing do you not see, and hearing do you not hear? Seeing and hearing are so closely linked together. And that is the question I'd like to put to you today. Do you see? Or do you think you see? Do you see spiritual things? That's what I mean. When the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, are your hearts hardened? He says to them in Mark chapter 8, are your hearts hardened that you do not see? Are your eyes so blinded by the hardness of your heart if you cannot see spiritual things. We live in an age of blindness. I was meditating on this morning, and the thought suddenly quite terrified me. The whole world is blind, spiritually blind. They cannot see. The mark of regeneration is the capacity to see spiritual things. This is the third thing I want to say to you today. This is the essence of the message today. Regeneration, the result of regeneration, is the capacity to see spiritual things. Whether you are a Christian in the Bible sense, now please notice, I'm talking about the Bible sense of the word. Not whether you believe this and that to be true in some intellectual sense. The Bible tells us, as we shall see in a moment, that to be regenerate is seen by the fact whether you can see spiritual things or not. Now that's very easy to decide. Can you or can you not? Now, if you cannot see spiritual things, if spiritual things are unreal to you, as they must be, things that you can't see have an unreal quality about it. But if you can see spiritual things, then you know you are regenerate. Even if what you see and the quality of your seeing may be quite poor, the capacity to see and regeneration is very closely linked. In fact, inseparably linked. You know, when our daughter, Grace, was born, I was there in the delivery room, helping with the delivery. It was a very fashionable thing. I don't know how it is today, but we're very fashionable in England that the husband should be present at the delivery to help the wife, to hold her hand, to wipe the sweat from her brow, to put the gas on her face if she needed it, if the pain was too great, and generally to supervise the doctor that he does not do anything wrong. Well, in the case of the doctor who was doing the delivery, he seemed to me so utterly incompetent that I thought I might as well take over from that point, because he seemed not to be quite sure what he was supposed to do. In the end, it was the midwife who was trying to help him along, because this young trainee doctor was so inexperienced. The moment he walked into the room, I thought to myself, oh no, does this guy know anything? Does he know how to deliver babies? Which proved my concern was proved justified later when I saw that he really was quite incompetent. But anyway, that apart, as soon as Grace was born, I was surprised that within minutes, she opened her eyes and she was looking around the room. Her eyes was looking at the light. And I thought, babies are not supposed to be able to see very well. How come she's looking around? She seems to be able to see. And she was very quiet because she was so fascinated with the lights and the movements in the room. She was staring everywhere. And this illustrates the point here that birth and sight are very closely related. Let us go to John chapter 3, which is where I've been basing all the past two messages on, both the past two messages on. And let us see from Scripture this very important connection. And this is what we read in John chapter 3 and verse 3. And Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Here we see it. Unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Can you see the kingdom of God? Can you? So it's quite easy, isn't it? The meaning is very plain. If you are born from above, you can see the kingdom of God. If you are not born from above, born by the power of God, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord says in plain language. It doesn't require any profound exposition or exegesis on the passage. Unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This thing is very easy to understand. Let's put it this way. What does the Lord say? Here it says in verse 5, as we saw the other time, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." If you can't see it, you're not likely to be able to enter it, are you? And then verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, this is easy to understand. There's nothing mysterious or mystical about it. What is born of the flesh is flesh. Very plain language. Look, if you are born of the flesh, what happens? You are a body. And when you're born of the flesh, because you have a body, you have eyes. And you're born of the flesh, you have physical eyes. What is born of the flesh is flesh. And therefore, with your physical eyes, you can see physical things. Like Grace, when she was born, she was able to see physical things. Because why? She was born of the flesh. She has physical eyes. She has the capacity to see physically because she has a body and she has physical eyes. Nothing hard to understand. And the Lord said, "Well, now you understand physical things. Translate this into spiritual things and you see the same thing." If you are born physically, that does not give you the capacity to see spiritual things. You have only got physical eyes. You can't see spiritual things with physical eyes. Look around. What do you see? You see a wall. You see curtains. You see physical things. But when you are born of the Spirit, then you have spiritual faculties. You become a spiritual being. Just as when you are born of the flesh, you become a physical being. When you are born of the Spirit, you become a spiritual being with spiritual faculties, with spiritual eyesight. Now you can see spiritual things. Very clear, is it not? The Lord's preaching and teaching is very clear. There's nothing mystical about it. It's we who are dull of understanding sometimes. This is very plain language. Now, therefore, following this, if you are born of the Spirit, if the Spirit, in other words, gives you life, what does it mean to be born physically? It means you receive physical life. And with that physical life, the capacity to function physically. And you are all functioning physically. That's why you are physically alive. Your heart is beating, your lungs are breathing, your eyes are looking. You are physically alive. To be born of the Spirit is to receive spiritual life. And if you receive from God this spiritual life, then you have the capacity to function spiritually, which includes the capacity to see and to hear and to think spiritually, to understand spiritual things. So is anybody going to tell me here that they don't know whether they are regenerate or not? It's like saying, "I don't know whether I'm alive or not." Well, look at yourself. Are you alive or not? Have you ever heard somebody saying, "Hey, I wonder whether I'm alive or not"? Scratching his head and saying, "Am I really alive? Pinch myself. Or am I dead? I'm not sure whether I've been born yet or not." You think this fellow's out of his mind. He belongs in some psychiatric ward. You think this fellow doesn't know whether he's... I mean, you go outside to the street, stand on the street corner and tell somebody, "Excuse me, sir, but do you think I'm alive? Do you think I have been born? Have I really been born into this world?" The person will probably take one look at you, quietly walk over to the telephone and say, "You better send an ambulance. We've got a nutcase here." And yet, the church is full of nutcases. I hear people telling me, "I'm not sure whether I'm born or not." And you're thinking, well, if you're alive, you ought to know you're alive, or don't you know? Is there some mystery about this? "I'm not sure whether I'm alive." You say this is ridiculous. Well, it is ridiculous. So how is it possible that you are born and you don't know whether you're born? Because then, in this case, the blindness extends even to our own existence. We can't figure out whether we are alive or not. Can you see spiritually? Maybe a baby does not see very well. His eyes have difficulty focusing, but he still sees. can it be that you see nothing spiritual? Now, I would like to go on to speak about more clearly how we come to see, how it is that we have spiritual vision. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw the invisible. What is invisible to the physical eyes, Moses endured. He saw clearly the spiritual things. And in this case, he endured as seeing God who is invisible. Does that make sense to you? This is truly remarkable, isn't it? This is what I call maybe the fourth dimension. We are all familiar with three-dimensional things. The physical world is three-dimensional, we are told. So we have it in such a way that all material things are defined in these three dimensions. But I call this the fourth dimension, if you like. To see beyond the physical world and to see the things which are invisible to the physical eye. Have you had such an experience? Have you perhaps from time to time exercised a little bit of spiritual vision and then it vanished and you were back to blindness again? Now here I have to put in a cautionary word. Not all spiritual vision is from God. And the capacity to see certain spiritual things is not evidence of regeneration. Here, maybe I'm speaking a little bit deeper because I doubt if many of you need this kind of caution. But for those of us who are somewhat been a bit longer in spiritual warfare and a bit more familiar with the spiritual world, the realities of the spiritual world, for the sake of caution, I'll put in this warning. There are people who can see spiritual things, but not the things of God. Whatsoever is born of God sees the kingdom of God. Now, these words are very important. The Lord Jesus knows, as those of us who are engaged in spiritual life and battle know, that there are people who can indeed see spiritual things, even though they are unregenerate. Why? I said earlier on in the previous two messages that every human being is both body and spirit. But most people do not know how to function with the spirit. That spirit is dead in relation to God, but is not necessarily dead in relation to the spiritual world. That is why there are such things as demon possession. And those of us sometimes who have to fight this kind of battles are aware of the dangers of demon possession. Meddling in spiritual things at a time when they are not in the right position to do so. My father knew a government official. I use this one because it's a particularly vivid illustration. In China, who had been a Buddhist monk. And like many spiritist people, they are able to see spiritual things. And my father tested him on this point. My father himself was not a Christian at that time and was very skeptical about spiritual things. So my father tested him and found that indeed he was able to see spiritual things. And because of his capacity to communicate with the spirit, he was able to tell and answer impossible questions, such as the question my father asked him as to where my grandfather was buried during the Second World War. My father himself didn't know where my grandfather was buried because my father was in the resistance fighting the Japanese from the capital, the wartime capital of Chongqing. So he did not know where his father, that is where my grandfather was buried. So he asked this man, if you have the spiritual powers that you claim, you tell me where my father is buried. Because this one, he knew he could not mind read him. You see? Since he himself doesn't know the answer, you can't mind read the answer out of his mind because he was afraid that there is such a possibility of reading another person's mind, and if you already know the answer, he might be able to pick the answer out of your mind. So it might be some kind of psychological trick. or some powers of the mind about which we don't yet know, but may not have much to do with spiritual things. So he asked him a question, the answer to which he himself, my father himself, didn't know what was the answer. And that man closed his eyes, and after a while he opened his eyes and he said, "I will tell you where your father is buried." He named the place, he described the scene, and described it to the last detail, where there was a little brook, where there was a slanting of the land, even where the trees were standing, even where the trees were standing. So my father noted the details that this man told him, and then asked his brother, my second uncle, who was present at the burial, and he asked my uncle, "Now describe to me where our father is buried. The place, exactly what the land looks like, where the trees stand, and so on." And my father was shocked. As my uncle described the scene, it was exactly as this man had told him. Amazing, isn't it? I asked. And when my father asked this man, who had been a Buddhist monk, "How do you know the answer to these things?" He said, "Simple. I talk with the spirit." "Talk with the spirit? How do you talk with them?" He says, "Well, I just talk with them. Just as I talk with you, I talk with them." He said, "You see them?" He says, "Indeed, I see them. I see them and I talk with them. How do they look?" "They don't look very nice." "Not very nice, but I get used to them." You see, these people had learned to exercise spiritual sight. And I told you about this lady the other day that I met on the plane coming off Manila. And this lady was able to see these things too, in broad daylight. Broad daylight, doesn't have to be dark. She could see spiritual things just like that. Now, I would like you to understand this thing. This is not the kind of spiritual sight the Lord Jesus is talking about. It is talking about seeing the kingdom of God. And in fact, the Bible acknowledges, especially in the Old Testament, the reality of the spirit world, as also in the New Testament. It acknowledges the reality of the spiritual world and warns the Israelites never to dabble in this kind of thing. Never dabble in it. Not even in fortune telling. There are Christians, I say to you, who go to fortune tellers. And let me tell you this, if you mess around with fortune tellers, the consequences are beyond imagination. And I know Christians who still do this kind of thing. And God's judgment will be upon these kind of persons. They have been specifically warned never to do this kind of thing. So don't think that when I am speaking about spiritual vision, I am talking about visions of spirits and ghosts. Some people have seen ghosts walking around, and this is not uncommon. Now, we are talking about seeing the things of God. Let's get this very clear. I said there is a general situation of spiritual blindness in this respect. The whole world is blind. The whole world is blind. Even God's people are blind, the people of Israel. Paul says in his two chapters concerning the Israelites in Romans, in Romans chapter 9 and chapter 11, that blindness in part has come upon Israel. You remember those important words. The people of God are blind, just as the prophet Isaiah said in his servant songs, "Who is blind like my servant, Israel?" The people of God are blind. They cannot see. And when Paul says the Israelites are blind in part, he means the most part. Only a small remnant of Israel was able to see. And the same problem afflicts the church today. Most of the church in our generation are blind. Those are not my words. We see that in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 of the Laodicean church, which is regarded as a picture of this present age, the last age of the church. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord says to the Laodicean church, "Get yourself some eye salve. Anoint your eyes that you may see." The church has gone blind. It needs to have its eyes salved with the special ointment of the Holy Spirit. that they can see again. So the world is blind. Israel is blind. The church is blind. What happened to regeneration? Whatever happened to regeneration? So if you have problems with regeneration, I'm not too surprised given the situation as it is in the world today. The spiritual situation is absolutely terrifying. And let no one say to you that Christians cannot be blind, even if they think they are regenerate. Let me read to you one verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, a verse that as I was reading it struck fear into my heart, the fear of the Lord that our brother was talking about last week. This is talking about the blindness in Christians. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He's talking about a brother whose eyes has been blinded by the internal darkness, the spiritual darkness of the heart, which finds its expression in hating a brother. Now don't get this passage wrong. The Bible uses the word hate in a much wider sense than in modern language. I'm sure that there's almost no one that you really hate. You just don't love them, that's all. You don't hate them, you don't love them. But not loving them is precisely what the Bible means by hate. That's what it means. When it says hating your parents, if anyone would be my disciples and does not hate his father and mother and brother and so on in his own life too, it doesn't just mean you worked up a bitter hatred against your parents. It means that in comparison with the love of God, you do not love them in the same way. And they feel that you don't love them, perhaps sometimes. So you really do love them at a much deeper level than ever you loved them as a non-Christian. But they feel you hated them, mistakenly. I know of no Christian who does not love his parents or her parents more than when they were non-Christian. Certainly I did. When I was a non-Christian, I never really loved my parents. I only really loved them when I became a Christian, because I didn't even know what love really meant when I was a non-Christian. It is only the gospel that taught me what love means. But here it says of a brother that he does not love his brother. And such a person lives in internal darkness, internal within his own heart, and therefore he is blinded by that darkness. If you don't love a brother or a sister, and here I have to keep checking myself all the time, is there someone I don't really love? Maybe I even dislike. That will result in blindness for the Christian. And spiritual things will suddenly go blank. One of the first of the Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A condition for seeing the things of God is purity of heart. Now, that's not required in the case of seeing spiritual things in the sense in which this Buddhist monk sees things. You don't need purity of heart in there. Or like this lady that I talked about, she doesn't need purity of heart. It only needs a certain type of spiritual concentration, learning certain phrases, perhaps.
Learning certain spiritual techniques. Even more effective are those people who have sold their soul to Satan and confess that that's what they have done. It's quite terrifying. By those means, they're able to communicate spiritually with the spirit world. But to communicate with God, to see the kingdom of God, you need purity of heart. Just as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 also, without holiness, nobody will be able to see God.